Okay, guys. Hi, everyone. Thanks for coming over. Before we start, if I could please ask all of you to turn your mobile phones off because we're recording this. So just for the sake of the internet audience. Thank you. What we're going to cover today, we're going to cover clearly a short introduction, then the financial review of our results for the first half of the year. And then we're going to have a short operating review, which is going to have lots of details. We're not going to be very lengthy with them, but clearly you've got a presentation and you can then afterwards read it when you're really bored. We'll talk a little bit about regulation. We'll talk a little bit about current trading and then summary and question and answers. We'll try to rush through all of it relatively quickly to leave time for questions. What I suggest is that if you have questions, keep them and we'll take all the questions at the end. Thank you. So let's start with the financial highlights. I think we're very happy with our results. It is only a few months after we left the United States market and leaving behind us almost 60% of our business. And here we are the first half year after that reporting that net gaming revenue outside that market are up 24%. We're very profitable, so we're at $19 million profit with a profit margin of 19%. We saw growth not only in poker, which is where market expected to see growth, and that's 19%. We also saw significant growth of casino of 22%, and that's not just the casino in poker, it's also the core casino product as a standalone, and we'll discuss it going forward. We've seen operating expenses percent of NGR down to 28% from 31%, so everything is under control. And we see basic EPS of 5.2 cents. And we are in line with our stated policy, continuing to pay dividends of 1.8 cents per share. We're very proud of these results, especially given the circumstances and the withdrawal from the U.S. market. And we are also very confident of the business going forward, and we'll discuss this a bit later. I suggest we go now to financial review, Avian.
Namely the boring stuff. Thanks for the introduction. I'll rush through it.
Yeah, well, I've taken all the interesting bits already. So.
Exactly. Our P&L, top line, 96.8 million, growth of 24% in our continuing business. Each of our four main expense items, operating expenses, grew by only 12%. This is part of the beauty of the business model. We talked about this a lot in the past, and this contributed to the widening margins. R&D development rose 25%. We said that in nominal value, the R&D expenses will increase. It's a coincidence that it went up at the same line with top line. But basically, the R&D expenses represent the rollout of our development plan. And in absolute terms, it will continue to rise a bit. But in percentage terms, I don't expect it to rise at the same rate as top line. Selling and marketing expenses rose 25%, and I'm going to drill down about the composition. Administrative expenses actually reduced considerably from last year. As a result of all this, basically, profit before tax was almost $19 million, 298% increase. Profit after tax, $17.5 million. EPS, 5.2. In continuation of our year-end dividend of 8.88 cents, we have declared a dividend, an interim dividend of 1.8 cents per share. I would like to mention two things about this P&L. The PBT margin is 19% and the profit margin after tax is 18%. If you actually roll the clock back exactly 2 years when we went public, we published our half one or five results for the entire business. The margins are within 1% from what we are now without the US business, which is quite an achievement in my view. Net gaming revenue, again, 96.8 million, 24% increase from last year. In Q2, 50 million, this is a 7% increase in Q1. From emerging games, mainly bingo, we've derived 2.2 million over 6 weeks of operations. And this represents a quarterly compound annual growth rate of 8%. It's beautiful in my view. Separately for the poker and the casino grew by 22% from half one last year, and the poker continued to grow at 19%. who said there's no growth for 888? Who said there's no growth in casino? Here it is, black and white. Geographic segmentation, where we grew well, our main markets. On the right-hand side, you can see that in the second half, in the first half, 4.7, we grew in the UK, but UK represents now only 43%. And continental Europe, excluding the UK, grew from 35% last year to 41%. Rest of the world and Americas, excluding US, 8% each. You can see the growth, the main growth, 48% in Europe ex-UK, 11% in the UK. In terms of the product growth, our main growth market for the casino in half final seven was in Europe. For the poker, we grew strongly both in the UK and Europe. And you have the percentages right there. In terms of expenses, a few words about this. Operating expenses reduced to 28%, operational efficiency, etc. Admin expenses went down, and marketing expenses ratio remained stable at 35%. I'll talk a bit about this more. Marketing. In half one, marketing ratio to NGR was 35%, exactly the same ratio as a year ago. We met here in April, and people asked what's going to be the marketing ratio going forward, and I said 35 to 36%. Here it is, 35%. In terms of the breakdown of the marketing costs, we have expanded our affiliate channels. In terms of CPA in half final seven, it went up to $223 from $181 last year. We have recruited 136,000 FTDs, or first-time depositors. You can see in terms of the composition, the main items that we spend are the affiliates, offline and online, but the main growth came from the affiliates. Customer bonuses, I think this is the third or the fourth time that we're reporting a continued increased efficiency in bonuses. Increased efficiency in the casino went down to 27% from 33%. The similar picture in the poker went down to 9% from 10%. And I think we're going to be able to continue in that trajectory. In terms of the balance sheet, usually it's boring. I'll just highlight a few items. Look at the second line, intangible, 41.7. That's basically the asset, the bingo assets that we've acquired. The vast majority of it are intangibles. Cash at the end of 30th of June was 87 million. We have no debt, obviously. In terms of liabilities, look at the trade and other payables. That's not from trading. That's basically the unpaid element of the bingo consideration. The way we paid for the bingo, we paid less than 50% already. This is the remainder of the consideration. The cash flow statement. We remain a very cash-generative business. What we've done with the cash, we've paid $12.5 million basically for the bingo. We also paid $30 million of dividends to our shareholders, and we ended the period with $87 million of cash. Real money registrations growth, that graph's continued, increased by 14% from the end of the year. We've reached 4.1 million registered real money registered customers. Compound growth rate of 10% from Q102. I'm going to whiz through our KPIs now. The casino KPIs, the casino net gaming revenue increased to almost 28 million. That's 24%, and that is 8% increase from Q107. And before you ask, if I strip the casino games played in poker, represents 6% increase. So there's growth in the core casino, the enlarged casino, as we call it. It's a very positive result for us. In terms of the active customers, in Q2 we reached 72,000. That's an increase of 2% over Q1. And again, if you want to know what's the composition of excluding the poker players who played casino, it went up from 40,000 to about 45,000. So you can see continued growth in the casino core business and with the poker on all parameters, including on the NGR per active customer. It went up to 386, $1.5 per quarter, 5% increase, a 17% increase from a year ago. Poker, our NGR in Q2 reached 20 million, the 22% increase from last year. There's a slight seasonal decline from Q1. We've seen it across the industry. We don't think we're different from others in that respect. Poker active customers in Q2 reached 166. It's a 37% increase from a year ago, and it's virtually flat on Q107. In terms of the poker quarterly net gaming revenue per active, it reached 119, which is about 4% decrease from Q107. Over to you. Thanks.
So to start with, I'll rush through many of these, and you can ask me questions afterwards. But to start with, I wanted to reiterate our strategy. So these are the basic cornerstones of our strategy, and they are thinking global while acting local, because we must be a global company but work locally in each market. It's about having an enhanced and innovative offering, because this is what customers want. Every time we issue something new and exciting, customers play more, and more customers play with us. It's about state-of-the-art integrated marketing, because this is what we do best. We're a great marketing company, and we're very good at balancing cost with marketing. It's very easy to just market, but it's the balance between actually what you spend and what you get, which is critical, and we're very good at that. It's about customer intimacy, because we would like to think that we give our customers great service and we know exactly what they want. It's about having a market-leading customer service, because in this global internet virtual business, at the end of the day, it's the human interaction with the customer that make people stay and make people loyal. It's about focused, efficient, and effective organization, because after going out of the United States market, we clearly have to be a lot more efficient than we were before. And it's about being an employer of choice and making sure that we've got the best employees in the market, not only in the gaming industry, but also world-class employees from other industries. And this is something we focused on. In addition, in terms of strategy, and some of you have seen this and some of you may have not, this is our offering strategy. It's got various layers in our way to become what we want to be, which is a great gaming and entertainment destination for people. And what we plan to do is to add many more games into a single client, to add local games through third-party integration, to have the games available through more platforms, so not just online and mobile, but also more platforms, to have lots of entertainment and content in it, so people will find it not just interesting more than other gaming sites, but also more interesting than other non-gaming sites. To have community tools, which will make us a lot more sticky, because people will interact one with the other, and to have a very good loyalty club, which will make people stay with us for as long as they can. In addition to that, in terms of our brand strategy, if you recall, we discussed this before, we see ourselves not just as a single brand operator. We clearly have 888.com, which is a very strong brand, but we'll also have other brands, such as, for example, our own Pacific Poker, which is part of our brand strategy, and some of the other brands that we operate. But we'll also have partners. We'll choose strategic partners that have strong brands and strong presence in various parts of the world. And together with them, we will be able to penetrate new markets quicker. So this is the brand strategy. Let's see what we've done, basically, in H1. So if we start with marketing, there's lots of innovation in the way we run our marketing these days. What you can see here, for example, you can see some of what we've been doing in terms of search engine optimization. We still maintain top positions in Google, MSN, Yahoo, across various markets, across various search terms, which is, of course, extremely important. These are very cheap customers for us to acquire. We look at doing lots of viral things, lots of things that basically enable us to get customers without spending a lot of money. We have launched the first user-generated content competition, which generated quite a bit of customers by actually having people come and introduce videos. They can win a prize. Other people come and see these videos. We get free publicity, and the videos have an advertising for us at the beginning and the end. We have launched a few websites that basically have videos in them attracting customers and then leading them to play with us. All these things are extremely cheap methods of gaining customers. This is something that we like doing, because just doing more of the same is not enough. You've got to do more interesting and innovative things to get customers at the right cost. We have launched various smart segmentation campaigns, which are basically campaigns that are based on our ability to analyze what customers want, where customers come from, and what are their issues and problems and desires. So we've launched various campaigns that are based on the location of people and the payment methods they want to pay with, and this has been very successful for us. We've launched a very unique sign-on bonus campaign that offered people different sign-on bonuses in different locations based on what they've been playing, etc. We've had various promotions with money can buy prizes that have been extremely successful for us. So we've been doing lots of these things other than simply giving more bonuses. I think that the overall contribution to this, you could see basically in the reduced bonuses that Aviad mentioned before. If you do these things smartly, you don't have to give lots of cash bonuses. You can actually give other things that people like even more. We have focused a lot on our relationship with affiliates. I think that in the past we've always been quite clear that affiliate is not our strongest marketing channel. We've always looked at what we've done, and we said that we're a lot stronger at other things, and we've been focusing on affiliates in the recent year with lots of good results, as you can see in the previous slide where we spoke about where growth came in marketing. We have done not just more of the same in terms of getting more affiliates to work with us, but also done a few interesting things like the Poker Pro for a Year tour, which was very a unique concept that we've done now, copied by others, which basically enabled us to work with a major affiliate and bring many customers. We're working a lot on improving our positions in affiliate portals and on basically offering them more and more things that will make us the right partner of choice rather than simply paying more, because it's always easy to simply increase the market price and pay more. We've been able to basically keep CPA where we wanted by doing all these innovative things rather than simply spend more money. Clearly, we've had significant boost in brand awareness through successful sports sponsorship. I'd like to take credit for the performance of Seville. Unfortunately, I don't think that's all mine. I chose them, but other than this, it's been lots of luck for us because they won the UEFA Cup, the Spanish Cup. They finished for the first time in their history number 3 in the Spanish La Liga, and they are in the Championship League today. And this is clearly generating for us by far more exposure than we ever expected, which is great. Sometimes it also works in a funny way because it's not just a good thing that helped. At the beginning of the sponsorship, if you guys recall, Freddy Canute, their goal scorer, didn't want to wear 888 because he was against putting a gambling shirt. This got us by far more headlines than anything else we could ever do, because this became a front page rather than sports pages. So it was very successful for us. We're very happy with the club. The relationships are very good, and we expect it to continue being a great sponsorship for us. It's clearly very good for next year when we're getting at the price of what we paid before. We're getting a team in the Championship League playing Arsenal basically on the 19th, and hopefully we'll go to the next round as well. We've also had a very good 888 World Snooker Championship, which ended up with a great match. In snooker, you're lucky because if somebody wipes somebody else out at the finals, you get very little television time. We've had the longest game ever, so we had as much television time as one could expect. And we've had very good cooperation from the tournament and from the BBC, basically, in terms of our branding, as you can see it on the slide. That's been very good for us. We've also did the first shared sponsorship in Latin America. That was a short one just to test the result, and that was very successful, so we may be looking to do something else in that area as well. We've also invested a lot in poker content, so we have seen one of the areas where we have been relatively weak is in putting poker content on television compared to some of our competitors. And we've invested a lot of time and money in producing poker content and basically distributing it across channels. We have seen a huge rise in the number in the quantity and quality of the poker content that we're distributing today. And we expect to see a significant upside also next year, because many of the things that we filmed this year in the first half are only going to be launched second half in 08. So this is something that we focused a lot on. And clearly, this is all part of our marketing costs. This is all part of the numbers that you've seen before. The outcome, and this is something we're extremely proud on, is a very strong brand. And the full Millward brand survey is available. It has tons of things in it. We don't want to bore you that much, but it's all available for anybody interested. And the really critical thing is that we are in a great position in terms of our brand. This is for the UK, clearly, but we're seeing growth all across the market. In the UK, in terms of awareness, unaided awareness, we are number one amongst all betting and gaming websites in England. In terms of total unaided awareness, we are number 3 behind Ladbrokes and Will Hill. In terms of prompted awareness, we're very high, as you can see, 76%. We are number 3 again against after Ladbrokes and William Hill. In terms of general gambling, we're number 3 in terms of consideration. This is the question is, would the 888.com be your first choice, or would you seriously considering with playing with 888.com the next time you play online? And we are number three behind Ladbrokes and Will Hill on general gambling. We're number two behind Ladbrokes only on casino games. And we're number one with Ladbrokes on poker. So clearly, this needs to be translated to more and more money. Just branding by itself is not what we're looking for. But this is the infrastructure. Getting such a brand power is the infrastructure for future growth. And this is what we're investing in various markets. And this is going to be one of the cornerstones of our future growth. In terms of product and business updates, we have launched our white label platform. It may seem like a small thing, but to be able to basically do these white labels is not extremely easy. You need to change many of the things in your system and in your operation. We've launched the first one with Riley's Poker. If you recall, that was announced last quarter with us saying that this will enable us to offer something unique, competition that start online and continue offline and the other way around. This is going on very well. Development phase have been completed. It's been now relaunched, and we've got very high hopes for that. And that's a very good achievement for us in half one. We have launched a language infrastructure program. Again, for those of you who are not technical, we hold our games today in 12 different languages, and updating each one of the languages with all the new games is a very tiring process. Essentially, we're talking about 12 different versions of software clients. And this is all very complicated because it's not just translating the words, it's also translating some of the images that have words in them. It's translating the look and feel to the local look and feel that we want. It's translating all the help files for new games. It's translating all the frequently asked questions. It's a lot of translation and a lot of adjustment to do. And what we've done, we've basically invested significantly in half one in an infrastructure program that brings us to state-of-the-art position in which many of these updates are being done automatically without having to rewrite things again and again and again. I can go into more details, but that's the core of it. And the meaning is that we'll be able to introduce any new game or any new thing that we launch, we're going to be able to introduce it immediately or almost immediately in all the language rather than stagger it out like we used to do. It used to be staged in the past, and now it's going to be almost simultaneous, which means a revenue upside on any new game and anything that we do. In addition, we've launched a customizable cashier per country, which means that right now every person, depending on various parameters, would get a different suggestion on how to deposit money. This is significant in increasing deposit rates, the approval rates, and we will see this contributing to our half two numbers because it's just been launched at the end of half one. There are new games launched. Like always, we've launched a new version of poker. I think it is fair to say that until this last version, there were some product gaps between us and some of the products in the market. Not that anyone was perfect, but there were some product gaps. Most of these product gaps are now closed, and in some areas, we've also got some advantages. So it's 3D, it's got avatars, but it's got some unique things like a rotating table that sits you wherever you want and stuff like that, which people tend to like very much, and we've got very good feedback on that. We've clearly launched Bingo based on the Globalcom assets. We've launched Backgammon, and we've launched 6 new video slots and branded slots. And there will be more introductions of games in the coming half based on various integrations of third-party games. A major thing that we've done, which is critical for not only for the money line, but it's also critical for the customer experience, is what we call the unified client. It basically means that when you download today a poker client, you can play Casino, Backgammon, Bingo, you can play all of it from the same software client. The meaning is choice, and the meaning is entertainment. And the way we see ourselves, we're going to offer people to play all the games in the world that they want from a single place. They don't need to redeposit, they don't need to re-register, they don't need to download additional software. It's all the same place, it's all the same entertainment focus, and it's all the same thing that people want. This is based on extensive user research, and we've got very good response from the market and from our customers about that. This is something that we'll continue doing. All the new things that we'll introduce will be introduced directly into this unified environment, which we think is very good for us. Customers have been, it's been a lot easier to cross-sell and upsell based on this. This is just factually, it has been a lot easier than it was before. In terms of the Bingo assets, we finalized the deal mid Q2, and I'm happy to say that the Bingo assets are now fully integrated into 888. The post-merger integration is progressing very well. The core Bingo business is performing what we basically bought. It's performing better than what we expected, making this a phenomenal deal for us. Not just because Bingo is growing in general, but also because some of the changes we've been able to do to this business to make it more profitable. In addition, we're operating our own Bingo, through bingo.888.com, and we'll talk a little bit about this, about what's our plan for the future, because it's not going to stay like that. And it definitely increases our demographic reach. The demographic segment that we're targeting with Bingo is definitely different than what we've been targeting with poker and casino, and this has been very good for us. In terms of half two plans, I'm going to start with something which is, you know, it's a bit, I usually don't go through this, but because we think it's big for us, I'm going to go through this. It's our new marketing campaign. And this is the tagline, and the tagline is enjoy the game. And this tagline encompasses in it everything we think about ourselves. It's the fact that it's a game, it's the fact that it's about enjoyment, about entertainment, about thrill, about fun, about meeting people, about everything. It's not just about winning. And this is based on research of more than 50,000 customers in which we asked them, why do you play? What do you expect to get out of playing? What do you enjoy in playing? What don't you enjoy, and so on. And it may be that we're simply more of a leisure player, but many of our customers said, no, we don't play for money. We play for enjoyment, we play for fun. We know how much we're going to spend. We enjoy that. We know that this is part of entertainment. And that's why we chose that tagline. I was planning to read this. It's a bit tacky, but it's based on everything our customers wanted to hear. I don't know if I'm going to embarrass. Well, I will. I'll embarrass myself and I'll read it. It's, you know, our mission is your enjoyment. And at 888, we believe that entertainment is the spark that completes our life, that after the challenges and routine that occupies our daily lives, everyone seeks fun and enjoyment. At 888, we want people to enjoy the game, so everything we do is dedicated to making sure they get the most enjoyment out of the time they spend with us. Some play to win and some play to play. Whether they are here to win big or small, here to have fun, or simply here to meet like-minded new friends, we want people to enjoy the game. And the campaign we launched around it is a campaign that has a basic assumption, and that there's a game in everything. And if you see the first one, it's the next traffic warden, will he be writing a ticket, checking a meter, hiding in a bush, taking pictures, or taking abuse? The next one is, what's on your nearest white van man's dashboard? Grubby tabloid newspaper or Tupperware lunchbox? This is clearly the UK version of it. I don't see this one working in Spain, for example. Next one is, how long till this poster gets graffitied? And clearly, we expect people to graffiti it, and if they don't, we'll make sure it does. Then another one is 7 minutes until your next bus, higher or lower. And another one is the lingerie color of the next... Well, clearly, they're all contextual. This is for a lads magazine. This is not for billboards. And this will read, lingerie color of next woman in magazine. Red, black, pink, white, what lingerie? Next one is, your boss catches you playing 888.com poker. Do you fold, hold your hands up and take the rap? Bluff, tell him you're donating the winnings to the Christmas party. Go all in, tell him he can stick his job. And these are clearly just examples. There will be taxis. We've always been big with taxi advertising. There will be ones saying, next taxi we'll see, will it be red or black? Clearly, strangely enough, most of the taxis are going to be black. Some of them are going to be red. They're going to be branded 888.com, and if you're going to be in one of them, if you can choose between a black and red one, choose a red one, because in the red one, there are going to be some nice stuff and some prizes and stuff like that. And we expect to get quite a bit of PR out of that. We've put another poster up down the road. Will it be red or black? And there would be one red and one black. And as you can see, this is the actual language that we're going to use. You look at the graphics, it's the language of gaming. Is the language of a blackjack or a poker table. It's the language of roulette. And that's one of my favorite. You drive in your car, you see a billboard saying number of red traffic lights you'll stop at on your journey, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or 0, you're a policeman. And this is exactly the language, and there are more and more ideas like this coming. This is picking up. The biggest indication of a great campaign is that when people start seeing it, they start sending you their own ideas. We've had our agency see this. We've had the media companies that we work with see this. We've been getting from everybody ideas. We think it's very catchy. It's not life-changing, but it definitely explains what we're after. It explains that we are after enjoying the game. It explains that we're after entertainment and enjoyment and fun. And we've got very, very good feedback from customers about this. This is going live this week, actually. Product and business plans. Product plans, so additional video slots and casino games. Clearly, we have got to keep the innovation coming. Branded slots, the first branded slot with Merlin Monroe, we like to see. We've always been good with our own slots, and we would like to see what happens when we bring a branded one from the outside. Multi-hand casino is something that customers have been asking for a long time. Basically, the principle is similar to multi-hand poker. Why play just one slot machine when you can play a few at the same time? Why not play blackjack and at the same time throw a few dollars at slot machines and maybe win a big thing, et cetera, et cetera. They've been asking this for a long time. We're giving it in this half. There are many new features in poker. Again, some of them are quite unique. And all new games, as we said, are in the same client. Next thing, in terms of the Bingo network, as we said, we've been operating our Bingo under bingo.888.com and links from the website. We've actually done zero marketing on this. This has been extremely good for us. We've been getting tens of new customers daily without doing anything, just by the exit traffic of our website. And this led us to believe that we need to invest a lot more than this, other than the core business we bought under an 888 brand. Following lots of market research, we've decided to pick a brand called 888ladies.com, and that's been very well accepted by the female audience that participated in our research. Special brand idea, clearly I'm not going to share most of it, but it's going to have be glamorous, colorful, exciting. And the theme is, and that's just for the UK again, is the theme is three fat ladies. For those of you that play bingo, 88, the number 88 in bingo is named two fat ladies. Being that we're 888, then the theme is three fat ladies. And that's been accepted extremely well by bingo audience, and we think it's going to be very nice. It's going to be launched in Q4. We have lots of hopes for that. We have acquired a sport. We've been granted a sports license in Italy, as you all know, and we will be announcing the launch of this service either this week or next week. It is based on a local partner because you can only work with a local partner in Italy. As you can see, this is the website. It's actually up and running, but not yet accessible to customers. And we expect this to be the first sports product we launch, and definitely one that will teach us a lot about this market and will be very good for us. In addition, we have signed an MOU with a strategic partner in terms of the global sports book, and we will be announcing what's the partner, who's the partner, in a few weeks. We're at the final stages of negotiations of the contract, and the deal principles are going to be rev share, and we maintain ownership of the customers. And we will launch in Q4 in one market, being that the sports is a bit risky, as we've seen lately in some of the results of some of our competitors. We're looking to do this very carefully and very well. The meaning is that we'll do the launches market by market, ensuring that each market is profitable. We launch the first market in Q4 and then continue launching additional markets monthly. As I said, announcement is expected to be late September, and we clearly could have launched it before, but we want it to be fully integrated into our product. We don't want it to be a standalone proposition. Strategic partnerships is a key thing for us, and it's been moving on very well for us. We've mentioned Riley's Poker before. We're now announcing the first white label deal in Latin America with a local company called Tower Torneos. Torneos is tournaments in Spanish. We've basically been looking for the right partner that could get us exposure in this market and could give us a customer base quickly. Tower Torneos are the biggest player in Latin American poker. They have exclusive TV rights across the entire continent. They're very well connected with the poker players community there, and they've been having their own online gaming platform for a while now. We basically addressed them, and we convinced them that a partnership would work better for them, and now they've basically moved all their customers into our system. It is going very well for us so far. Although conversion is not completed, we already see 1,500 active players daily from their database, and we're seeing around 50 new real money customers daily just coming from their own channels. And that's before we started marketing it heavily or anything else. So we think this gives us a very good penetration point to Latin America, and a much quicker start than if we had to build this ourselves, not to mention the fact that many of their TV deals are exclusive, so even if we wanted, we couldn't get them. And it's clearly a revenue share deal. What you'll see us doing in the future is signing more deals like that. There will be at least one more deal announced in half two. We think this is a very important strategic direction for us, one that will take us very quickly to our goals. In terms of entertainment and reach, it's as you recall, this is part of our strategy. We want to have a lot more focus on entertainment and a lot more reach than before. And in terms of new platforms, we clearly have internet, we have mobile, and we've announced in-flight systems, although in-flight systems is not for real money, it's just for customer acquisitions and for branding. What we're announcing now is that it is available soon in in-room hotel systems, meaning that you walk into hotels and the television set in the hotel is going to have, as one of the options, it's going to have play 888 games. We're announcing a TV deal that's closed on 888 Casino. Will be launched on television in 2008. And we're launching an IPTV channel, which is basically an internet-based television channel, which will offer gaming on television as well. In terms of content, we've closed a deal with a production and content provider, and VOD will be available in the specific portal, as well as in the client itself. We will deliver a specific personalized content to each one of our players based on segmentation, which will enable them basically to get something from us which is not tangible, something which is a lot more fun than just getting more money, which we expect to create a lot more loyalty. Regulation, always the fun stuff. I'll cover this quickly. I'm sure there may be more questions afterwards. In terms of the US, yes, there are ongoing discussions with the DOJ, as we've told the market. No, they're not moving very quickly, and no, we don't have anything new to report on them. I think that we are not the most interesting company for them. They've got a list, they've got a very long list of companies that they're dealing with. We're just one of them, so it's not going to be moving quickly. It takes patience, and we are going to continue in these discussions. There's clearly, at the background, two things happening. One of them is the Barney Frank bill, the bill that potentially could change UEGA, the bill that was signed in October last year, and basically reopen the market. We think that this is a very positive move. We're seeing some grassroots support from the Poker Players Alliance and so on. However, having said this, we don't expect this to happen soon. However, the fact that this is happening at all, and the fact that there are senators that are supporting this, and the last I've heard, it's around 40 senators that are supporting this, means that the overall atmosphere is such that it may be easier for us to get to a deal. So overall, it's very good progress. We were happy for it to happen. We just don't think that there's any profit coming from the U.S. in the coming year or two still. The second thing this is happening is the WTO discussions. As you may know, the United States, in attempt to wrap this entire issue, have told the market that, and they've told the EU and the WTO in general, that they're withdrawing from their GATS commitment on gambling. There are now, I think, seven claims against that, one of them from the EU, another one from Antigua, another one from Japan, another one from Brazil, and so on. And not necessarily because these guys care too much about gambling, but they care about trying to get something instead, as the United States is withdrawn from GATS commitment. And we do expect to see some intensive discussions in the coming month between the EU and the United States on what will be the compromise. One of the things that we have asked the EU to push is that if this market will open, it will open in a way that will not discriminate us against others. So this is one of the directions, and I think this is, again, the fact that the EU is picking it up is very good progress in the overall struggle to regulate online gaming. Europe have seen a very good period. I've just stated here three things. There's clearly the Placanica ruling against Italy in the EU court, which basically reiterated again that a member state cannot discriminate any European operator simply because there is a monopoly locally. Again, I don't expect all obstacles to disappear immediately, but this is definitely steps in the right direction. In France, we have seen the first local court, although I think that recently there's also been something similar in Germany, the first local court that is saying, well, to the monopoly, no, you can't go and ban European operators just because you want the monopoly. And that's the French High Court, and that's a company from Malta offering sports betting. And again, this does not mean that tomorrow all the obstacles go away, but it does mean that it's moving in the right direction. And there's clearly the statement of opinion published by the EU that says that discrimination is not right and against the EU regulation. I think the end game for this, and this we see all across the continent, all across the EU at least, is that with time we will see more and more regulation similar to the Italy model, a lot more than any sort of prohibition. We now hear that Belgium is looking to do that, Spain is looking to do that, Sweden is potentially looking to do that, Poland, Czech Republic, and I think that in a few years' time there will not be many jurisdictions inside the EU where a company like us, namely the big players, regulated players, cannot acquire a license or get a license. There's clearly a game here of taxation and a game here of what's the upside we can get from being able to work a lot more openly in a market versus what's the tax we need to pay. But in general, based on our calculation, it's always going to be in the favor of the big players. So the big players that can get these licenses, that can invest in each one of these markets and can take a significant share of the revenue are definitely going to be seeing a lot more contribution from each regulated market, while the small players that enjoy the under-the-radar operation are going to suffer. So I think this is another move which is positive for us and the other big branded operators. Last thing, rest of the world, clearly not the same position as the EU exactly, but we are starting to see a move toward regulation. Specifically, South Africa have said they're going to regulate it in 08. The Philippines have started regulation. Argentina started regulation. Mexico started some sort of regulation. And what we're seeing is that every jurisdiction that revises its gambling bills also has now something about online gaming. And I think that a year ago I've told the market something that I still truly and strongly believe in, and that is that if today we've got 10% of the countries in the world that have some sort of regulation on online gaming and 90% that either use old laws or don't have anything on it, it's going to be reversed. So in 3 years, we're going to see exactly the opposite. We're going to see 90% of the markets in the world somehow regulated, some of them prohibition, some of them regulated, some of them giving licenses only to a limited number of companies, some of them opening it to everyone. And we're going to see only 10% of the countries where it's going to be completely unclear. And in this 90%, even if 45%, even if half of it is prohibition, there's still going to be a huge number of countries where companies like us could work openly. And as I said before, wherever you can work openly in a regulated environment, it's a lot better for companies like us. We can market openly. We've got the money to invest. We've got the capabilities and the knowledge. It definitely works in the favor of the big players. Current trading. We have seen record turnover in July 07. And this is clearly record turnover it means for the continuing business. But this is a phenomenal thing, and as I've been asked earlier on today, it's not just because of poor weather in the UK, because growth has been not just in the UK, it's also been boosted by product launches across the rest of the jurisdiction, where weather was not that bad. But I think the mere fact that in what is traditionally the second worst month of the year, to see our strongest month ever outside the United States, it's a good indication. We did see slightly lower seasonal August, followed by a strong start to September. I think that August was basically a change based on UK weather. I think that people had such bad weather that when the minutes started seeing some sun, they simply ran away from the computers. But overall, the seasonal decrease is very marginal. And the start to September is so strong that we're very confident that this is not just weather, but it's basically the business managing to continue growing. The first 7 days of September show growth compared to August in all operation parameters, including new customers, number of active players, poker rake, and fees. So overall, we think that this is, you know, these are great results. Just to give you a perspective, I don't think that we've ever seen in the business outside the United States a July, which is so much stronger than any other month in Q1, for example. So it's really very good, and we're very happy with that. Leading us to think that there's future growth expected in half two. So, summary, it's the first ever non-US results in terms of profit. We've never reported profit outside the United States. And what it shows is record performance and ongoing focus on profitability. I think that this is one of the key things that people may ask us. Is it the right thing to keep yourself profitable? And we say the answer is definitely yes. There's no point of throwing money where profitability will not come from. And we are continuing to be spot on our predictions and our budget, and this is the way we'll continue operating. There's a clear future strategy, strategic initiative progressing as planned. These are strategic partnerships, sports betting, extended platform reach, entertainment focus, etc. All these are progressing as planned, and all these got very good feedback from our customers. Integration of first acquisition completed, strong performance, which leads us to think that we're going to do more of these. And we're definitely looking at a few others of similar type, which we'll be earning and answering will be good for us. Growth continues with geographic expansion through organic growth and strategic partnerships. So both directions show growth, which is good. And the demographic growth through new games and acquisitions leads us to believe that there are still many more untapped markets that we have not been able to leverage on and that we'll be able in the coming future. We continue paying dividends in line with policy, which is, I think is a happy thing, being that we can do that. And we're confident with our future growth. So thank you very much, and I'll take questions now. Not all of you together, I'll say this one by one.
Hi, John Tarasevich from Deutsche Bank. On the bingo, how much of that $2 million is coming from cross-sell from existing players, or is it really staying a very separate demographic customer base? Are you seeing cross-selling on the direction, really? And secondly, on the Italian sports, taking a sports betting license, I assume the 888.it site will be just sports betting. Will you continue to offer the rest of your products through 888.com, if or not?
In terms of bingo, The 2.2 million being that was just the initial post-merger integration is the standalone business. We did not do anything or nothing very significant. We were busy with integrating the business and with, you know, moving it to our operation, etc. So I can't really say, while it's a good number, I can't really say that we've done it. It's just a business that we acquired, and that's why we expect to see some upside in half two as we start marketing it and start pushing it. In terms of Italian, the 888.it is going to be exactly by the guidelines of the regulator, which are sports betting. It is known that the regulator is looking into adding poker tournaments, just tournaments, not tables, to the license, and that there are some legal interpretations that say that you could also do bingo, and we're looking into that. Nobody launched anything like that still yet. And in terms of our 888.com, in the EU it is open to everyone, but we're not advertising it actively in Italy. So if somebody ends up getting, you know, we don't block it in the EU. If somebody ends up coming into 888.com, that's fine. But in terms of what we're going to market in Italy, it's 888.it. Not sure whether this is a good indication or a bad indication.
Could you break down your currency exposure in terms of costs? And do you intend to carry on reporting in US dollars going forward?
Currency exposure. Aviad will do that.
It's a great question, and it's a vastly complex area. Basically, we have a situation where we're naturally hedged, because whilst all our income comes in dollar or denominated in dollars, first of all, a large part of that we can convert at the processor stage to the currency of our choice. It's a relatively new development for us. And our cost base is actually diversified. Part of it is denominated in pounds, mainly Gibraltar operations, part of the UK marketing operations. Part of it is denominated in US dollars, Antigua, for example, and certain marketing operations out of the UK. And part of it is linked to the Israeli shekel, where we have our marketing and R&D operations. So if you look at the complex interrelationship, we're actually not that sensitive to a change in a dollar sterling. Having said that, because of the large cash balances that we carry, we do have to protect that. If you looked on our balance sheet, we'd have about $23 million of customer money. That is fully hedged. And there is a remaining element which we are looking to hedge, but so far there was no need. So it's the bottom line, it's very complex, we're not overly sensitive, and we're looking at it.
Additional questions, anyone?
Just on the casino in Q2, obviously you got active player growth there for the first time for quite a while. What's been driving that growth, and do you think it's sustainable? And then obviously the Q3 acceleration of growth, is that coming across the board, or is that mainly because you've included bingo in July?
Okay. So a few questions here. In terms of casino growth have been coming from various things. It's been coming from marketing growth, so bringing in more customers that are keen on casino. It's been coming from product growth, meaning that we've introduced new games and new languages that basically make it more compelling to play casino. It's been coming with some more innovative things that we did that enabled us to win customers from other operators. Some things like the viral campaigns we mentioned, exactly, etc., that have been very good at driving players to us. And overall, we think that this is very much a sustainable. Casino is not a game played by as many people as poker, but the loyalty of players, at least with what we've seen, has been very, very good along the years. So we've got players playing with us for almost 10 years. And the more we manage to bring in, we're very good at keeping them in. So I think that, yes, we will continue seeing growth. Definitely the cross-sell in the single client is important. Although it should be said that we don't see any customer, not even a few, that are poker players that simply forgot that they want to play poker and started playing only casino. people still have their tendency to play a single game, but we've always been able so far to see that any such player has at least one more game that they'd like to play every once in a while. And this every once in a while is contributing to our revenue and to our numbers in casino as well. So we will continue to see core growth and we'll continue to see cross-sell. That's in casino. What was the other question? Bingo, yes. The half to growth is not just bingo. Okay, that when we're saying strong growth, you know, we would have been not precise if we just said strong growth and didn't say it's just bingo. It's definitely across everything. Bingo is growing, but also poker is growing and casino is growing. Okay, guys, last chance. Okay, I want to thank you all for coming over. As usual, if you've got any additional questions, feel free to contact us. Thank you very much.